In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Were you a pitcher?
I pitched all the way up until I was a freshman in high school. My sophomore year, I got away from pitching. I just played center field, and that was my last year.
So was that a two-seam?
That was a four-seam.
It wasn't a knuckle?
A four-seam. No, that was the easiest one. That's the best one I had when I was pitching, so I knew I used the same grip.
Did you practice at all yesterday?
Yeah, I got like three throws in the back.
On the mound? Or?
Nah, it was like the same distance as the mound, but it wasn't on the mound, but...
When you heard about that, I mean, obviously, Husky Nation is, you know, they're thrilled you're here. You're kind of getting to know them, and you go out to a professional venue and you get cheers like that. What's it mean to you to just even be asked to do that?
Yeah, it means a lot. You know, I'm not going to lie, that's something I dreamed of, like, always, like, that's definitely one of the things on my bucket list, like, that I always wanted to do. I saw a lot of people do, and I was like, this is what I want to do one day. So whenever they call me about it, like, I called my mom, my dad, like, right away, like, hey, I got a blessing. Like, it was definitely a blessing. You know, I was glad to be there, and just feeling the love and the support from the fans, you know, it was great.
You come to town, and the Mariners make the playoffs for the first time in 21 years. Is that what you're telling us?
No, I would say it's me, but, hey, I'm glad I'm here. Let's just say that.
I had a quarterback tell me one time a while back that if you're throwing a baseball and throwing a football, one can really screw up the other.
Yeah, it could. I looked at the video, and I kind of used my football mechanics almost. I just picked my leg up. But as long as it got a strike, I was good.
So what'd you kind of learn being on the road for the first time with this team down in Pasadena?
That this team have fight, you know, no matter – we're going to have adversity always. You know, it's always there. And it just showed that we know how to handle it. We know how to bounce back and, you know, not just like dwell on what happened before, you know, just having that 1-0 mindset, and just the team just showed a continuous fight all the way through the end.
It just seems like the chunk plays at times really get you guys going, and the one that kind of I saw that just changed the whole mindset, it seemed like the team was the one that you made to wane, you know, that long game. Yeah. But that chunk play just really seemed to elevate the confidence.
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely – at that time we were down a couple scores. So, you know, we knew we had to get back in the game, and it just popped open, and it definitely a big play for that drive. You know, it definitely gave us a lot of confidence, and, you know, it definitely brought the tempo up. And we just knew that we just stayed believing that we can go out there and do anything. You know, we always believed we were going to win all the way to the end. You know, we weren't really focused on the scoreboard, and, you know, we were just making a play, man. Wayne caught the ball down the sideline, had a big play, and, you know, that was the start of the comeback, but, you know, It wasn't enough.
It seemed like their pressure, it's the most pressure you've faced so far, and so you had to adjust little things. But then in the second half, you were able to. So tell me just working through that and how it felt like they were in the back a lot.
Yeah, we did make a couple adjustments. You know, they were in the back, just small, like, technique details and maybe a misprotection by myself as well. You know, so it's just we just got to clean up the small things, you know, make sure that we don't take anything for granted. You know, especially we come out here and practice, you know, pushing the guys, make sure they're going 110% and don't expect nothing less, you know. But that was definitely something that, you know, we knew going into the game, you know, they were a good team up front, and we knew we were going to have a challenge. And I feel like the O-line, they definitely held their own. They definitely fought back all throughout the game. And, you know, it seemed like after halftime, you know, it looked real good. And we look real smooth as offense, like how we usually look, and you know that's how we want to be all throughout the game.
When you guys are down by three scores, you know, I think it's easy to get hyped up and want to hurry and speed things up, but it just seemed like you guys stayed within yourself, stayed in the offense. You were checking into runs, but how hard is it to maintain that calm when you're down by three scores and just stick with the plan?
If you're just trusting the process, you know, embracing the moment, you know, just focusing on all things you can control, you know, it doesn't make it hard at all. You know, I feel like this team has a very mature mindset. You know, everybody knows what it takes to win, you know, so that's definitely a big thing. And, you know, that's just all it was, you know, just making sure we just go out there and execute and not really worried about all the other things that was going on around us, you know, like the scoreboard and stuff, you know, and that's just how we looked at it. You know, we just wanted to make sure we just go out there and execute and have fun. You know, a lot of people don't get this opportunity. I wish they could have, and, you know, we're blessed for this opportunity. So we just know we got to take advantage of it every snap we get. And, you know, that's what the guys did. You know, they made sure that they kept a clear mind, you know, just continue to move forward and push forward.
How different is it, you know, being on the road and not here and facing back-to-back road games going down to the heat of Tempe this weekend?
Yeah, it's obviously different, you know, for the offensive side of the ball, you know. You know, the crowd will be cheering whenever, screaming whenever we're on the field. So, you know, that's really the only difference. But, you know, everything else, it's still football. It's still a football game. We're still in between the lines. So as long as we just control what we can control and, you know, just have great communication. You know, we always talk about having elite communication in the offensive side of the ball. You know, as long as we do that, you know, we'll be able to go out there and do anything.
What do you expect to see from Arizona State? You know, they changed their coach last week, and what differences have you seen in just one game with a new coach?
Yeah, they're definitely a physical team, you know, a team that has a high motor, and they're going to continue to play all throughout the game. And, you know, we just got to go out there and execute. You know, they're a good football team. We got to respect that. But at the same time, we know the caliber team we are. We just got to go out there and just show that on the field and just do the little things right. And, you know, once we do that, you know, we'll be good.
Is there anything you saw from UCLA, secondary specifically, that you can take for Arizona State?
What do you mean?
Any looks that their secondary gave that kind of aligns with Arizona State?
Nah, they're two totally different. Unless Arizona State come out with something different, but UCLA, nah, they did a lot of open coverage, too high stuff. Arizona State doesn't really live in that ballpark too much, but you never know. they could change. They probably seen the game, and you never know. We just got to be ready for whatever. We know that we'll be ready no matter what. You know, we come out here practice. We work in with our defense as well sometimes. Our defense runs too high sometimes. So, like, it doesn't matter what they show us. You know, we just got to go out there and execute, and we'll be ready.
Do you feel like Seattle further embraced you last night? Here they got you in the middle of a pennant race out there throwing out first ball.
Yeah, it was great. You know, it was a great feeling being out there, you know, just seeing the fan support. And it was a wonderful experience, you know, a true blessing, something that I always dreamed of doing. And I'm glad I was able to do that.
Did you ever play baseball?
Yeah, all my life until my sophomore year in high school. I was a pitcher in center field.
From your vantage point, from what you saw at the UCLA game, you know, Jackson Kirkland in at guard, what'd you see? Did it make a difference?
Yeah, Jackson, he did a great job. You know, he's definitely a guy that's very mature, and he's not selfish at all. You know, coach asked him to move to that spot, and with no hesitation, he was like, I'll do it, coach. I'll do whatever for this team. So, you know, just seeing him, just knowing him as a person, just getting to know him even more each and every day, you know, it just shows his true character. And he's a dog, you know. He's a guy that really wants to be great, and he did a great job at guard. You know, he showed a lot of great things, and obviously in the past he's been phenomenal at tackle as well. So we feel really good that we can move him around, and I feel like he's definitely doing a great job.
What did the Bruins do to you? The coach said they got in your face, so that led to the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty because guys were protecting each other. I saw Fatano involved, I saw Roger involved, but it started with you. Like, they were mistreating you somehow or abusing you, the Bruins?
Yeah, it was nothing. It was just football stuff.
Trash talking on the field?
Yeah, it was just football stuff.
You didn't have the chance to do a quarterback sneak against UCLA, but if Jackson's lined up at left guard, are you kind of looking over to your left a little bit more?
Right. We're just going to execute a play. You know, it don't matter who's up there. I trust all my old linemen, so they're all going to get the push.
Mike, I'm curious. You're obviously a guy who can make every throw and can fit it in tight windows and have done that all season. I'm wondering where the line is where when you can make every throw and fit it in and throw guys open, what's the thought process between, oh, I can fit it in there, or maybe forcing a throw? How do you kind of make a decision between, the confidence you have in yourself and, oh, that's probably a little too risky.
Yeah, as a quarterback, you just want to be smart with the ball, you know, try to protect the ball the best you can. So I want to say it's not really like a fine line between it. It's just a feel, you know. It's just having the reps and just feeling the guys out there, seeing the defensive backs technique and stuff like that. That helps me. It's just a feel, yeah. A feel thing. I know I can make any throw on the field, so if I feel like I can make it, I'm going to throw it.
Grubb mentioned that obviously you threw the two picks in the first half, and then in the second and third quarter, there was a pretty similar route that you drilled down the left side for a first down, throwing over a DB. Was there a thought in the back of your head about, can I make this, or is it just still just an instinct that, oh, that's my read?
It's just a feel thing. That's all. I don't back down from anything, so it don't matter what they gave me, what happened any time before. You know, that was a play that was already in the past. You know, I have a 1-0 mindset. You know, just staying level head, just playing a play out. I really don't worry about anything that already happened. I just go out there and just play the play and just live in the moment. Mm.
On that first interception, it looked like you had your guy with the safety with his back towards you, but then it looked like the safety turned around and just made a really good play. Is that what happened?
Yeah, that was the second one, but yeah. Second one, yeah. That was a linebacker.
Jalen McMillan.
We were still trying to see him out and just see how he is as a person, and, you know, eventually we came to the conclusion that he was a great dude and a great coach, so, yeah.
And just how is that, obviously, been through a lot more in that time since, but how has that relationship grown?
Just because of the private conversations, we've been even tighter than we are. So like, he just coaches me, but not only coaches me, he gets to know me on a personal level. So just him doing that just brought our relationship closer.
I guess what'd you learn from Friday nights down in LA and being on the road for the first time as this team was on the road for the first time?
I mean, we're going to face adversity on the road every time, so we just got to be prepared for that. And we just got to be able to fight for each other and just know that situations like that happen and, you know, yeah, just to fight for each other.
What are you kind of expecting to see from ASU Saturday afternoon in the nice hot weather for
you? I mean, we expect a lot of zone. Yeah, it's going to be hot, but, you know, we're going to hydrate good and it'll be a good game.
Did you hear from your teammates when you kind of ran over a Bruin to score last Saturday or Friday?
Nah, you know, we were just focused on the next play. And, you know, as soon as that play was over, we did the two-point, and then we went to the sideline and started talking about plays for the next drive. So, yeah.
You didn't get to enjoy it that much.
Nah.
What did you take away from the success that you had against their defense?
Just being able to identify coverages. You know, UCLA threw a lot of defense or a lot of zone at us, and, you know, it was kind of tricky to be able to just find the zones and see what they're running. So just being more savvy in that type of area.
Do you think this especially sets you up for Arizona State for what they provide?
Oh, yeah, especially. Just because of the zone and the way they run their defense, it's kind of similar in a way. So, yeah.
Is there any way that you specifically like to attack that now that you've had one game under your belt?
I just got to see the nickels leverage. And, you know, usually the nickel leverage and the corners leverage, you know, that's how you see the defense. So, yeah.
There seems at times where it's almost like a switch where the offense just clicks and you guys just look unstoppable. Like when that pass was completed to Wayne, mm-hmm. you know, and he took it 30 yards, it just kind of seemed like an igniter. What's it like when that, I mean, you know, am I wrong? It's almost like a switch.
I mean, that's just Coach Grubb at his finest. He just knows what to call in certain situations. And, you know, we need momentum plays like that. So, you know, when we're able to click and gain momentum, we're going to keep going and use that.
But are there times during the game where you're more confident than others?
Nah, we really have the same confidence all game. There's really never no highs or lows. We really just stay the same course the whole time. So, yeah.
Jackson Kirkland.
All of a sudden, you know, we didn't know because we don't come out here every day. But how was it presented to you and what day did it happen?
Yeah.
Break it down.
Just going into the UCLA week last week, I sat down with Coach Huff and Coach DeBoer. And they just thought it was the best move. I mean, my background, obviously, I played 2 years at guard here. That's what I started out with. I feel like I can step back in whenever and play that position. And I think it speaks to my versatility and only helps me when I go to the second level to show that I can do both. But it was more of a thing of just getting assimilated back because I'm still trying to get my wind under me and because I didn't really have a camp because I was sitting out. But so they just thought it was the best for the offense, and I was fired up about it.
Pulling at guard, pulling at tackle, what's the difference?
You know, that's actually the same, and it's nice that when we played Stanford and I was at left tackle, I got a couple reps of pulling. So when I was at guard, it was the same thing. Left guard, left tackle, same stance.
So knowing what, you know, a team player you are, still, if you go talk to a whole bunch of linemen, they go, well, hey, tackle, left tackle especially, is the money position. That's where I'm going to make my millions later on. Did that even cross your mind when you're switching positions, at least for this?
Yeah, with something like that, you kind of got to check your ego at the door as much. I mean, I played left tackle for 2 years, but deep down, I really loved guard too, so I was fired up with the opportunity. And like I said, I think I just want to play, and I think every lineman would say the same thing. So, no, it wasn't that big of a deal.
Is center the only position on the offensive line you haven't played?
Yeah, no. I mean, I think if you put a ball in my hand, I could pull it off for sure.
Have you asked?
No, I haven't asked. We haven't gotten there yet.
What did your dad think when he heard you're back playing his position again?
Oh, yeah. He loved it, obviously. I mean, he can relate to that more. I like to joke around with him. He doesn't really have a tackle body. He's a lot shorter than I am. So he was totally fired up.
Jackson, I'm curious, in terms of physically coming back and being a couple weeks back now, do you feel like, okay, I'm all the way back? How are you feeling physically right now?
Yes, we're getting there for sure. The Stanford game, I knew the first couple games were obviously going to be tough because I just haven't gotten those reps during practice, and there's only so many ways you can simulate football conditioning. And that UCLA game was a great opportunity for me because we had some long drives there in the second half, and I think we had a total of 85 plays, which is above average. And, yeah, like I said, that just helped get my win back.
I think you probably answered this, but just what was the reaction with the position change when they kind of asked you about it?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I just want to do what's best for the team. And Coach DeBoer, I mean, they know I can do a great job at tackle, but they also know I can do an awesome job at guard too. So I was totally fired up. I felt right back at home. I like being inside too. I can be more of a mauler inside because I really define that as the trenches. The inside is, it gets a little softer sometimes on the outside. I felt good, you know, throwing some bodies around in there.
So did this just happen the day after the Stanford game where they said, we're going to try you a guard?
Yep, exactly, totally. And I think it speaks too to the versatility of the offensive line as well because you have Troy doing the same thing. I mean, we just totally flip-flopped, and you can maybe see down the road us switching back over again. I mean, and that's a luxury that we have in our group.
Did you and him talk about it at all, that you were flipping positions?
Yeah, for sure. We did. And as soon as we got the word, I mean, we just got to work. We're like, okay, like, I'm talking to him about what I'm feeling out there, what I'm seeing. And now I'm like, okay, hey, Troy, what was it like, you know, inside on these type of plays? It was great. We were kind of just giving each other feedback.
Is there a scenario during a series that you guys could flop?
Hey, man, you never know. That'd be pretty cool, but I don't know if we're going to try something out like that yet.
Did you get a crush play against UCLA?
What do you mean by crush play?
Like? Just, I know you like them all, guys.
Oh, yeah, totally. Well, I think there's a couple that stand out. I mean, that's the great thing about guard is that you're uncovered sometimes, so we call it finding work. That's where I get to clean up a guy who's tied up with the center or vice versa, the tackle, and there are opportunities for that for sure, and that was fun.
We talked to Bruner last week, and he said that he was taking dance 101, 100, and you're in it, Carson and Demo. Is there any film available?
Yeah, you know, thankfully the film is private, and you put it on YouTube, but it can only be accessed with your password and stuff. So thank God that that's a thing, because I don't know. I don't know if I want that getting out yet.
Can we get it?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, maybe you have to ask nicely down the road. Yeah.
How are you as a dancer?
I think I'm pretty solid. I think the feet that I have on the field translate over to the dance world. It depends on the type of music, but no, I think it translates well.
Thanks, Jason.
Yeah,
I'm just curious, when you came out for fall camp, you were here for 3 days, and I know you're brand new, not really probably in great shape, and on the third day you walked out of here with trainers behind you. What was the breaking point there that made you leave the field?
You know, I definitely did too much, and that's a tough thing about being a competitor. I was cleared exactly at 6 months from the ankle surgery, and literally 6 months was August 1st. I think we started camp on the 3rd or something. And I'm just like, oh, I feel great. I'm going to go, you know, just trying to be cavalier and just jump right in. And I should have been smarter and kind of broken myself in slowly. And I just was trying to do it all, and my whole body kind of was just hurting bad, but it was mainly the ankle. It just wasn't ready. So we had to tone it back and be smart. And the great thing was we had time, and the team killed it those first couple games, and it was a perfect scenario.
Are there things about playing guard that are easier than playing tackle as far as the working your way back injury-wise?
Yeah, I would say so. They each have their, like, pros and cons. You're asked to do different things for sure. I mean, guard, you're asked to do more, I would say, in the run game because you're digging out pretty big defensive tackles and you have to snap off on linebackers, where at tackle, you're just on ends the whole time. But, yeah, as far as the square feet I have to cover is not as much, and because of how large I am, I just have a good feel of my space in there. I don't have to go as far.
Coach said you were lineman of the week. You know, after film review, how do you think you graded out?
I think I graded out good. I mean, I think there's also stuff to work on. Like I said, it was only my second game and my second full game too. I just think the offense though has to do better. I mean, it was really bittersweet because I'm proud of myself on the fact and with the help of the offense and teammates of being able to get that recognition. But with a loss, it's just kind of like you're just focused on that and you just know you got a lot to work on there and just getting back to work.
You guys were down on the goal line on the six, and Grubb said the Bruins got into Penix's face, and all of a sudden you see Fautanho and Rosengarten in the middle of something, and it led to an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. What did you see? I mean, were the guys trying to enforce, protect their quarterback, but maybe got a little overboard?
Yeah, totally, and I ran over there too late. I mean, anytime you see something like that, like as an offensive lineman, I mean, Mike's our guy, and we got to protect him. I mean, it's family back there, so yeah, of course we're going to stick up for him. Unfortunately, it's always the second guy that comes in on a penalty who shoves or something. I couldn't really see what the UCLA guys were doing, but I know it was a situation where we had to protect Mike. Can't do stuff like that, but yeah, it was just unfortunate.
I thought it was kind of admirable that Rosengarten just threw the guy down. He's a little redshirt freshman. And
yeah, I mean, you'd love to see it if it wasn't a penalty, for sure. Yeah.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull and Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code ODYSSEY. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Definitely that was Cook. That's why, you know, I mean, sometimes we can see injuries, and I mean, the yards eventually do stack up, but I mean, it helps out the safeties a lot because we can be more involved in the run fit. The outside is locked down. We can just come in and add to the run fit, set the run down, and that's what we've shown. We've shown we were able to stop the run, but definitely need to tighten up on our man coverage.
Alex, how difficult was it to come back and watch that tape and just kind of see all the things that you probably already had planned for, prepared for, and just saw the breakdowns?
Yeah, it absolutely sucked. You know, you have in the back of your head, like, what you already – you have – for me, it was – I had a whole list of the things I messed up on before I even turned on the tape. And then when I watched the tape, I'm like, all right, here it is. I'm just so angry at myself. And then you watch it with the coaches, and they're telling you the same things you already have in the back of your head. And, you know, you just got to take it to the chin, take it like a man. Yeah. Don't take it personal. Just get coached and correct it. That's all there is to it.
Knowing that that's coming, how is that flight back home?
Oh, yeah. Definitely hard to sleep. And I was just telling Coach Morrell, I couldn't sleep at all when we landed. I mean, we landed at probably – I probably got home around 5 a.m. Yeah. And I probably didn't go to bed till 12. Like, yeah, in the back of my head, I was just – reminiscent of all the plays I messed up on, all the plays I could have made. And And that was tough, definitely tough getting off that flight and going back home.
Coach DeBoer said yesterday that he was really impressed with how quickly you guys wanted to come back and really kind of erase that thought and just kind of really jump back on the horse. So it sounds like you weren't maybe probably even the only one that was feeling that
way. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we turned the table really quick. I feel like a lot of what happened on Saturday was not in our DNA by any means. We've never showed that, I don't even know what you call it, the weakness or just lack of communication, missing plays. We never showed that, even in practice. And so we, as we rallied the team together, we're like, all right, we're going to go ahead and get all these problems corrected, get all these things fixed, and then we're going to move on. We're not going to think about it. We're not going to hang up. And Coach DeBoer said it well. He said, don't let UCLA beat you twice.
Right.
So after you finish the film, get your corrections, that's all there is to it. We're on to the next.
And obviously you don't have your running mate there in Asa next to you, but how long, or is it still kind of forming, the relationship with Cam Fab and how that's working on the field?
I mean, Cam Fab, that's my dog. I mean, me and Asa and Fab, we're like kind of like the three musketeers a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, me and Fab are just as close as me and Asa are. And I mean, there wasn't much, how would you put this? There wasn't much that needed to be done in order to improve our relationship and play together. I mean, as soon as he stepped up, I mean, we hit it off right away. So it wasn't much of a transition.
But for him, having to go back from Husky to safety, has that been a little rougher?
Yeah, it was definitely a struggle his first week. But, you know, we put in a bunch of hours before and after practice, and we were able to get him dialed in. So, I mean, he did a very fantastic job of transitioning.
I was going to say, one of the things the coaches always talk about with him is how smart he is and how quickly he can kind of adapt to whatever role he's being asked to do. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, he played a lot last year. He was definitely a high IQ guy. Even Fab beat me out last year. Like, this dude, he's a true baller. Fab knows his stuff. He's very talented. And when he made the switch to safety, it was just another day on the field.
I was curious, when you watch the film of ASU, how much of UCLA are you seeing in them in terms of the skill guys that you're going to be going up against?
Yeah, they do a lot of condensed stuff. Definitely have a lot of skill players just like UCLA. I would say the biggest similarity between the two is the quarterback. Very mobile guys. Very, very physical running backs as well, as we've seen in UCLA. And, I'm just trying not to think about UCLA, just trying to move on. But, definitely a lot of similarities.
24-hour rule is tough to follow,
definitely, yeah.
A lot of people have talked about how consistent Coach DeBoer is in his personality. And it's the first time you guys have seen him after a loss. How would you kind of describe the way he responded to it, the way he talked with you guys about it?
Things he preaches in team meetings about, you know, hitting adversity and just moving on, being 1-0 mindset. It felt like a team meeting once he rallied everybody together. I was like, dang, he's just really repeating everything he was saying, and it's kind of coming to life. And it's kind of cool to see because, I mean, second half, I mean, we gave up a touchdown on the first drive, but I want to say midway through the third quarter and the rest of the game, they didn't score. And we just remember, like, 1-0, got to be 1-0. Don't look at the score. Just move on and just play like a 0-0. And it's kind of things he's been preaching, and we just rallied around that.
That 1-0 mindset, when you talk about it from game to game, sometimes do you guys even break it down like half to half or quarter to quarter?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely finish. Start fast. Win the middle eight. That's the last 4 minutes before half and the first 4 minutes of the second half. And finish the game. Finish the fourth quarter. And, you know, those things are crucial. I mean, if you start fast, I mean, you have a better chance of winning the game. I mean, obviously, UCLA started really, really fast on us, and we were digging ourselves out of a hole the entire game. So, you know, advantage them when they finish first. And then win the middle eight. We lost the middle eight. I think we always keep score of what the middle eight is, or what the middle eight was, and I think it was 10-0 in the middle eight. So, you know, they got that field goal at the end, and then first half they start out scoring, so 10-0, and you know, really emphasize that. If we don't win the middle eight, man, it's going to be hard to win the game. And then finishing is everything. I feel like we finished really, really good, but we didn't finish fast, and we definitely didn't win the middle eight. So, you know.
Jordan Perryman.
What's the word?
What's up?
What do you mean?
Are you getting healthy?
Oh, yeah. I'm feeling a lot better. Just got to go and do my rehab every day and come out and practice.
I know you're not supposed to talk about injuries, but I saw you grab the back of your thigh when you got hurt in the opener.
Oh, it wasn't the back of there, but, you know.
This is a muscle of some kind?
Yeah. A little owie, but I'm a lot better now. Yeah.
Lots of talk on social media about playing on grass and it making a difference. You had it at UCLA, you got it this coming weekend. Does it matter?
I haven't really noticed a difference. I mean, if grass is wet, you might slip a little more, but I haven't noticed a difference
probably
at all.
Probably wet this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty hot out there. So,
have you been injured much before? Is this the first time for you during a season?
I hurt my shoulder once, but it was more like a one game sit out and I was back. So I have never really went through something like this where I had to sit out a couple games and get ready to go.
How did it feel Friday, just getting back out there for the first time, running around?
It was different. I mean, I sat out 3 weeks, but I mean, it felt good to get out there with my team and go compete.
And you didn't last long on Saturday, from what I could tell. Just leg wasn't loose?
I wouldn't say that. It was just more like we were down a bunch, so what is the point of me standing and re-aggravating my injury? That.
How would you just kind of describe where you guys are at right now as a secondary through these first five games?
We have all the confidence in the world, but it's just we're down so many guys right now, so we're just working to get back to what we were doing before all this happened. So.
What were some of those things you saw Friday watching the tape that are kind of priorities to clean up this week?
They watch film just like us, and they attacked all the things that we were doing bad or that we put on tape in the previous weeks. And I'd say we have to get better at our eyes, finishing plays, tackling, and all around. We just got to do a lot better job.
Defense is a lot of man coverage, right? What is the challenge when you're playing as much man as you guys do?
I would just say in your stamina, just staying, being able to line up each play and you do your technique. But, I mean, it's what I like to do. So, I mean, it's pretty good for me.
Yeah, Javion Green. Javion, just tell me about what it's been like to come from Houston to Seattle.
I just think the biggest change is definitely the weather change. I mean, for me, of course, it's hotter in Houston. But here, I think the coaches, when they came down to visit me, they were very honest, you know. They wanted to be like a family when I got here, and that's exactly what it's been. I mean, I know, for example, Coach Juice, you come in his office any time, the trainers coming in any time, not just talk about football, just, you know, father figures and just talk about life in general. So it's been good.
So the 1 o'clock game in Arizona this weekend, mm-hmm. right up your alley, right?
Yeah. It should be pretty good. I think I should have some family coming out, you know, closer to home a little bit. Yeah. But, yeah, I think we should execute the game plan.
In terms of the weather and stuff like that, though, a little more what you're used to.
Yeah, I think naturally your body adjusts to the Seattle weather. So yeah. It should be a difference, you know, get a little taste of home. But I don't think the heat would affect us. You know, our nutrition is put in position. You know, we're hydrating a lot. So I think it should be good.
Now, I know everyone wants to when they come in first year. They want to come in and make an impact and do those kinds of things. Most of the time, the reality sets in and, like, look at all the guys in front of me. Mm. But you've been thrown right in the mix, and you've responded well. Is this exactly what you thought it was going to be like?
I didn't really have any expectations coming to college. I know how hard it is to play at the Division I level, especially as a freshman. I just put my trust in the coaches, and they put me in a position to where they think I'm successful. That's all that is.
How did your recruitment go? I just look at some of those profiles, and it didn't look like you were getting a lot of recruits recruiting. Did the Huskies just come in quick and kind of end it all?
I think my recruiting for me was kind of up and down. I would say a lot of interest from certain schools. But, you know, certain schools didn't want to take a chance from the move from safety to corner my senior year and things like that. But I think as soon as the Huskies came down, you know, they introduced – because, you know, I went to other schools too, but I think this was the right spot for me. And overall, I think it's been pretty good.
You think maybe they missed you a little bit?
As far as recruiting or here?
Being a Texas cornerback, that
it's a lot of ballers in Texas. I mean, that's the open deal about it. I mean, I'm just grateful to be here. You know, recruiting is kind of behind me at this point. I just think, you know, just moving forward, I just got to prove to everyone what they – I could say they missed, but maybe it was just a blessing to be here.
Was there any reluctance to come north, northwest? I mean, it's a long way to go to play college football.
No, it was actually no reluctance. I told the coaches when they came up there to recruit me, I told them the day he offered me I was going to commit. And actually, I committed the day he offered me. And when I came up here for a visit, and I posted after my visit, but I was already committed in my head at that point.
What are some of the skills you need to be really good at to play corner in this particular defense, this scheme that you guys run?
You got to be a baller. You got to play with confidence. You got to be able to play man. You got to be able to win your one-on-ones. I think that's a lot of it, you know. You got to come in with the mindset that your opponent, your wide receiver, whoever, tight end, whoever you're guarding, is not going to win. That's what Dog D is about, you know. That's what Defro is about. About, you know, taking the air out of your opponent and just killing them every single play.
What are the keys to being really good in man?
I just think here, just be physical, play with your eyes first, then move your feet. And I just think, honestly, if you play with your eyes, I think that your eyes will tell you everything you need to know. So, you know, you just trust what you see and just go with it.
I was curious also, Javion, when you look at the film of ASU, how similar are they to the team that you just played in UCLA in terms of the athletic quarterback and skill guys?
Yeah, they definitely have dudes. I mean, of course, we played Bobo last week and we played DTR. They have some guys over there. I'm not sure what his name is, number two. They have a good quarterback over there, a Florida transfer. So I think it's a lot of similarities.
Okay.
I just think we have a good game plan this week, as we did last week. I just think the execution on the players' part is going to be a little bit better.
And how difficult is that to maybe – I know you guys – they have that idea where you fess it and you fix it. You know, you kind of figure out what went wrong. And did you guys kind of know right away kind of what went wrong, or did you actually have to see it on film to kind of realize it?
I think you could definitely tell. I just think we just, you know, we didn't execute as we should be, you know. And that's on everybody. That's on me, including me. I just think we just need a little bit more fire. I think not all losses are bad losses. I mean, I'm pretty glad it's early in the season where we can correct the losses, you know, move on to a Pac-12 championship with this team, because we have a really good team this year, really good offense, explosive offense, and I think we have a really good defense. I just think last week we didn't really put it together as we should, and this week I think we should have great improvement.
Do you think the timing of going back on the road is beneficial given what happened in UCLA?
I mean, we could argue that they had a bye week. We had three days, 4 days to prepare. I mean, we could argue all the, you know, statistics and stuff, but at the end of the day, I just think we got to be a better ball club, you know. I don't think they're a pretty good squad over there. I know we're a pretty good squad over here. But, of course, I'm going to take my brothers every time. So I just think, you know, we just got out there and play our best game. I don't think that was our best game by far.
Going back and being road dogs, I guess, maybe just kind of going that and just kind of trying to get that taste out of your mouth. Do you think that's – is that something that you guys are going to try to do?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, first game away, new coach staff, new players, everything. Of course, it was different. It felt different. However, we got it behind us, you know, on to the next week. I just think we have more wins, you know, get the Husky fans more involved, you know, the tradition of Husky football. We're going to bring it back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.